All right, Rosai, page, daf, pei vav, today's daf, pei vav, Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, three lines down from the left, four lines down from the top. Minayin lepoletes shechvas zera b'yom ha-shlishi, shetehei tmeya. How do we know? Because there's an interesting case. We're going to see, this. We're going to spend a sugya a little bit today and tomorrow, talking all about Matan Torah. Great sugya in Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins with what appears to be at first an extraneous discussion, but we'll see why it's important in just a moment. So how do we know if a woman had relations, and therefore there's zera, there's semen in her body? So how do we know that even if she emits that on the third day after relations, that halacha lemaisa it's tmeya? It has the ability to render her tmeya. It has the ability to convey tuma. So how do we know? I mean, how do we know that zera retains its identity for 3 days? So the Gemara says Shina Emar Hayu Nechonim L'Shloshes Yomim, because the pasuk by Matan Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people to get ready, Vayomer El Ha'ab Hayu Nechonim L'Shloshes Yomim Al Tikshu El Isha, prepare yourself for 3 days. Do not come near to a woman. Which refers to the fact that for 3 days prior to Matan Torah, there was an issur, there was a prohibition on marital relations. So the Mishnah says, why 3 days? Why 3 days? It must be because Shichvas Zera retains its tumah identity for 3 days. And therefore we wanted to make sure that everybody, the men and the women, now again, for men it's easy, because the man can be matar himself immediately after a seminal emission and he's ready to go. But for a woman, if the zera is viable for 3 days afterwards, that to be choshish that she's going to emit the zera, and we want everybody to be tar from Matan Torah. So that's the way we get it from. Minayin shemarchitzen es hamila b'yom ha-shlishi. How do we know that we can wash a child in hot water on the third day after the bris milah? Now, what this means is we're not worried about the washing. What we're worried about over here is what the Mishnah is really saying is, how do I know that I can actually heat up water on Shabbos? I can boil water on Shabbos for the sake of washing a baby 3 days after his bris. And what's interesting about this is Rashi points out over here that this is not talking about if the child is in active sakana. Obviously, if the child is in sakana, you could do whatever you need to do for sakanas nefashos. What the Mishnah is saying is, how do I know that I'm permitted proactively to boil up water on Shabbos to wash a baby on the third day after his bris, even if the baby looks totally fine? How do I know that I'm permitted to do that? Which, by the way, we don't paskin like this in the Shulchan Aruch. We paskin that, of course, we don't proactively bathe the baby in hot water. Obviously, if the baby Chas Shalom is ill, then you do whatever you need to do. A child, by the way, within 30 days, is always considered to be a Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana. There are, in fact, some poskim will hold that even a child that's older than that, even a child until 3 or 4, many poskim hold, is always considered to be a Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana. When there's any, obviously not if he has a cough, but if there's any type of something that could look significant, we always obviously err on the side of caution, especially about children. So how do you know that on the third day after the milah you can go in and boil up the water? Shechalios b'shabbos shne'emar va'yiba yom ha'shlishi bios ko'avim. This is interesting. So where do we get it from? We get it from Shechem. That what happens? Remember the whole ruse that Shimon and Levi made in order to get Dina back. When did they go into Shechem? When were the men of Shechem most vulnerable? On the third day after the milah. So the Chazal understand from here that clearly the third day after the milah is an exceptionally painful day. How do we know that on Yom Kippur, also remember this is a major part in the Musaf Shmona Esrei, right? So how do we know that on Yom Kippur we have the two seirim, we have the two goats, one goes la Hashem, one is offered up on the Mizbeach, and one goes la Azazel. Right, one was taken by this Ish Iti, this designated individual, into the desert, thrown off the cliff, we're supposed to see Mitire. So how do we know that we go ahead and we tie a red string on the horns of the Seir HaMishtaliach, on the goat that is sent into the wilderness? Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Im Yu Chata'echem Kashonim, Kashaleg Yalbinu. Because the Pasuk says, quoting over here from Yeshaya, that if your sins will be kashonim's shani is crimson, red. If your sins will be red represents sin, then kashal galbinu, I will whiten them like snow. So the seir la'azazel, which is supposed to represent the atonement for the sins of the Jewish people had a red string tied on its horns. The Gemara goes weiter. Minayin l'sicha shi kishti abi yom kippur. It's interesting. How do we know that anointing oneself with oil is just as severe as drinking on Yom Kippur? I also remember on Yom Kippur, we have five different dinuyim. We have five different afflictions, five different things that we must deprive ourselves of. Two of them happen to be drinking, and sicha. Sicha means smearing oil on yourself. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, how do you know that anointing yourself with oil is just as bad on Yom Kippur as shtiyah, as drinking? So the Gemara says, afa pishin raya ledavar, zecher ledavar. The truth is, we have no explicit pasuk that tells us that, but what we have is, we'll call it a scriptural allusion, zecher ledavar, shene'emar. He quotes over here the pasuk from Tehillim, v'tovo kamayim bekirbo, v'kashemen ba'asmosav. It will come like water in his insides, and like oil in his bones. So the fact that David HaMelech links what the ingestion of water with oil indicates that, again, that sicha, that anointing oneself, is the equivalent of drinking, and therefore for Yom Kippur purposes both would be considered to be severe acts. Okay, Gemara, also obviously a lot going on in this Mishnah. Fine, so let's analyze this. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says Reisha. So we're going to focus now for the bulk of today on the first case of the Mishnah of the Poletes Shechvas Zera. So the Gemara says the following: Reisha, Dilo Karbalaza Ben Azaria, Seifa Karbalaza Ben Azaria. The first case in the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Karbalaza Ben Azaria, but the last case in the Mishnah does reflect the view of Karbalaza Ben Azaria. Why? The E Karbalaza Ben Azaria. First of all, take a look at Rashi. Reisha Dimas Nisin, Dilo Karbalaza Ben Azaria. The ilu ledidei sham inalei poletes bayom hashlishi tohor lekaman bebraisa. So we'll say, we will see Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria holds that if a woman is poletes shechvas zera, if she emits the semen on the third day, that she is tohora. She, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, he holds that she's tohor. The seifa, look at Rashi, seifa diktari marchitzen es hamila. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria do who amar lo lekaman beperek Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll see. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is of the opinion that you're permitted to go ahead and proactively wash the child, boil the water, wash the child on the third day after the milah. So the Gemara is pointing out that the Reisha does not reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, but the Seifa does. So the Gemara says the following: Ti'ik Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, because if the Mishnah found Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria tahora shamanale, then we would have learned that what? That a woman who is poletes shechvas zera, that if she meets him in 3 days after relations, then what? She's tohora. That's the shita. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, man dilo muki ketanoi, tanareisha tohora. So we'll say, here's what's fascinating. When learning Mishnayos, there are two different schools of thought. There were some that felt that the way Mishnayos were arranged, where people did not arrange the Mishnayos, was that a Mishnah does not reflect dissenting views, unless, of course, it says it explicitly. So if the Mishnah does not record a machlokes, then what? Then you have to assume that all of the opinions stated in the Mishnah all emanate from one person. All emanate from one person. And therefore, again, if that's the approach you take to Mishnayos, then the way you'd have to understand this particular Mishnah is you'd have to change the reading of the first case. And the way you'd have to read the first case is, Minayim lepoleta shechva zera b'yom ha-shlishi, shehi tahora. Shehi tahora. If you change it to tahora, then what? Then it's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because then it reflects the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Then the Mishnah is very symmetrical. Oh, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, fine. Which, by the way, that's not saying, ah, you know, fetch out. No, it's reflecting Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria's position is tahora. The Mishnah reflects his view. Fine. Umoki le lekula Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And therefore, again, the entire Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Uman demokim kitanoi reisha rabbanon v'sefer Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. But the school of thought, I will say, that says that no, a Mishnah does not have to reflect one opinion, but a Mishnah could reflect multiple opinions. So it's not a kasha. The first case in the Mishnah is like the Rabbanon, right? That a poletes shechvas zera, even 3 days after relations, will still become tamei. So it's like the Rabbanon, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And the second case of Mila is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Two different opinions reflected in the Mishnah. Fine, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanon. Now the Gemara is going to get into this machlokes. Poletas shichvas zera bayom ashlishi tohora divrei Belazar ben Azaria. If a woman goes ahead and emits the semen three days, bayom ashlishi means really on the third day after relations, then she's tohora. This is the position of Belazar ben Azaria. All right, Rabbi Shmuel says, So just take a look at bayom ashlishi for just a moment in Rashi. Kigon sheshimsha behei upolta shichvas zera b'shabbes. So just to give you an example of this, let's say she had relations on Thursday, right? And she has this emission on Shabbos. Lo shna shimsha tchilas del chamishi. D'ishtoi dalet ono shlemos. So I was like, we're going to see, just to give you this introduction over here, in halacha there's something called an ona. Every day is comprised, we know this from Taras HaMishpacha, so each day is comprised of two onos, right? An ona is a 12-hour period. So there's a day ona, there's a night ona. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, once you get to day number three, once you get to calendrical day number three, if she is poletas shichvas zera, she's tohora. She's tohora. There's absolutely no problem with that. There's absolutely no problem with that. So that makes no difference as to whether, at what point in time, she had relations on, so he uses an example of Thursday to Shabbos. So independent of when she had the relations on Thursday, by the time she comes to the third calendrical day, so she had relations on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, halach lamais, if she's polit shechvah, she's polit shechvah zera, she's totally Torah, according to Belazar ben Azaria. Okay, so now back to the Gemara. So the Rabbi Shmuel, says, "Pamim shehein dalera onos, pamim shehein he onos, pamim shehein vav onos." There are sometimes that a woman has to wait 4 onos, sometimes she has to wait 5 onos, and sometimes 6 onos before she's torn. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rabbi Shmuel, pamim shehein ba lachluk. Rabbi Shmuel argues on Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and he says like this: ba lachluk v'lomar. De poletes begimol lishimusha tmea, ava poletes bedalid tohora. Rabbi Shmuel holds that no, a woman who is poletes shechva zera on day number three is still tmea, like what the Mishnah said, right? Rabbi Shmuel, she's only tohora when if she's poletes on day number four. But what he does agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria about is miktsas hayom kikulo. That part of the day counts as the whole. Deloikpida Torah ella b'minyan shalayom v'lo b'minyan ha'onos. That the Torah doesn't care about onos. What does the Torah care about? The Torah cares about calendrical days. I will say, when you say that she's tahora, that she's tamei for 3 days, so 3 days can mean one of two things. 3 days can mean 3 days on the calendar, which can mean what? They're not necessarily full days. Or 3 days can mean 3 onos, or really 6 onos, because each day is 2 onos. Or 3 days means 6 onos. So what's happening over here? So for Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and Rabbi Shmuel agree that it's not onos. What is it? It's calendrical days. What they disagree is to the number of days. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, she's only tamea for 2 days. If she's poleta shechva zera on the third day, she's tohora. According to Rabbi Shmuel, she's tamea for 3 days and only tohora on the fourth. But both agree that it's just calendrical days. See, even again, if she had relations, let's say on the last hour of day number one, day number one is still what? It's still day number one, even though it's not a full day. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no. Li'olam hey. So Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no, you need 5 onos. You need five onos. Look at, no. Li'olam hey. Vim yasisa miktas ona rishona. Nosnin la miktas ona shishis. To the point that literally, if let's say, part of the first ona was not counted, you'd have to extend it into the fifth ona, into the sixth ona. What that's another way of saying is, according to Rabbi Akiva, you need 5 onos. 5 onos. So you need 72 hours.
Five complete onos.
So, I'm sorry? 60 hours, I'm sorry. Thank you. 60 hours. You need 60 hours in order for her to be tahora after being poleta at Shechva Zera. So the Gemara says, let me say that differently, though. That was incorrect. That she only is tahora after 60 hours. Meaning, if she's poleta shechva zera after 60 hours, that 60 hour, after that point, she is tahora.
Amruha Rabbanan Ksavos, again, Rabbi Akiva is clearly makbid on onos.
Five complete onos, which could actually be up to six, could actually be up to 71, because you need five complete onos according to Rabbi Akiva. So it's as long as it's
61.
The 5 plus 11, it could. He needs five complete onos.
Five complete onos.
So if the sex happened on an hour into one ona,
right,
then you have to wait that 11. That doesn't count, and then you need five complete. So it could be five.
No. We're not necessarily. Not necessarily. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, that first one might count. You'll just have to tack on the hour that you lost onto the following ona. So that we'll see. No, you didn't misunderstand. We'll actually see that's going to be a point of contention. But it could be read. It could, and that's why, if you want to be literal in the Lashon, if you look at his Lashon, he says, the olam ve'im yotzasa miktsas ona rishona, nosnila miktsas ona shishis. If you lost one part of the first ona, you have to include one part of the sixth ona. So we'll see how to read that later. Amruha rabbana kamei papa. So the rabbi said this before our papa. Va'omri la Rav Papa the Rava. Bishlam al Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ki Rabbanan de'omri behei ovid prisha. So Rabbosai, this makes sense. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like the rabbis, like the Rabbanan, who hold that on the Thursday is when the men separated from the women. Now remember, now they're trying to plug all of this into the timeline of Matan Torah. So the Rabbanan hold that the men separated from the women on the Thursday, right? And again, so, okay. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Bedalid Ovid Prisha. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we'll say this all presupposes the following, that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Now we'll all understand where we get that from, but the Torah was given on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, all you really need is what? 2 days of separation. Right, Thursday, Friday, because remember, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if she's poleta shechva zera on the third day, then what? She's tahora. And according to Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that when did the separation occur? Bedalid avid prisha. That ultimately, again, it was on Wednesday that they separated, because according to Rabbi Shmuel requires three complete days. Ela Rabbi Akiva kiman. But who does Rabbi Akiva? Because we also remember Rabbi Akiva requires mamish five complete onos. Liolam k'Rabbi Yossi. So the truth is Rabbi Akiva also holds like Rabbi Yossi, who says that they separated on Wednesday. So how does that work? Ki da'amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Moshe b'hashkama Allah, u'b'hashkama Yarad. That Moshe Rabbeinu went up early in the morning and came down early in the morning. B'hashkama Allah, how do we know that he went up to receive the Torah early in the morning? D'chziv, v'yashkem Moshe b'boker, v'yal har Sinai. Because the Lashna Vayashkim always means what? Hashkama always means early. So therefore we see Moshe went up to get the Torah early. Dichsiv, I'm sorry, Bashkama Yarad, where do we see that he went down early? Dichsiv, Lech Reid. Lech Reid, Va'alisa Ata Va'aron Imcha. So go ahead, right? Go ahead and go down, Lech Reid, and come back up with Aaron. Makish Yerida La'aliyah. So the Torah equates the going, the Yerida, the going down with the coming up. Ma'aliya b'hashkama, just as he went up b'hashkama, af yirida b'hashkama. So too, again, he came down b'hashkama also. So what's the chap over here? The chap over here would be the following, that according to Rabbi Yossi, if Moshe Rabbeinu was going up early in the morning, that means at what point in time already did they abstain from relations? Already we'll call it the morning of Wednesday. If he's going, by the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was going up, they had already stopped having relations with their wives. Which means, again, that halacha is as of Wednesday morning. So if you have Wednesday morning, you have Wednesday morning. We'll call it Thursday night, right? Thursday morning, Thursday night, and Friday morning. You have five onos. You have five onos b'hashkama. So therefore, again, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who requires five onos, he would take the timeline of Rabbi Yossi that they separated on Wednesday. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. So the Gemara says, but why do we even need this? The way the Gemara seems to frame this is that the reason they would not have had relations on Wednesday morning was why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah. But the Gemara says, but 1 second, even if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have gone up to receive the Torah, no relations would have happened during the day. Why? Because the Jewish people are Kadosh, and they do not have relations during the day. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Ha'amar Rava, that's not totally true. im haya bayis ofel mutter. If the room is darkened, it's permitted to go ahead and have relations during the day as well. Both said the idea behind this is actually this is a halacha that one is when having relations, one is supposed to create a tzanua atmosphere, and so again, so to have relations just in daylight without any kind of darkening of the room is considered to be a lack of tzniyus. Actually, the Gemara says something very. Gemara says shema yira ba davar maguna. What Chazal were concerned about is that maybe without any kind of covering in broad daylight, a man will see something that he finds unattractive about his wife, and halacha lemaisa that could ruin their intimate relationship. And therefore, Chazal said one could have relations during the day, but the room has to be dark. And it doesn't mean it has to be night. It doesn't mean it has to be pitch black. What it means is that it shouldn't just be a broad daylight. So the Gemara says over here. So Rava just says, interesting. Not necessarily. They might have had relations. It's only the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah. That's why they didn't have relations. And that's why, again, even according to Rabbi Akiva, as long as you go with the Wednesday date of Moshe Rabbeinu's departure, you can have 5 oros before the reception of the Torah. So Rava comes. Rava said, "Name Rav Papa. Talmid Chacham Ma'afil Betaliso Umoter. A Talmid Chacham, if he wants to have relations with his wife during the day, so Ma'afil Betaliso. Ma'afil Betaliso means literally darkens the room with his talis, with his cloak. Umoter. Look at Rashi. Talmid Chacham. Rashi says, Shud Sanua." So again, a Talmid Chacham, one who's going to be meticulous with tznius, simply darkens the room with his cloak. Whether that means that he puts the cloak over, I don't know, the window with his light, or he puts the cloak over himself with his wife. See, either way, the point is he darkens the room, and under those circumstances, relations are permitted. So the Gemara says the following. Vaha, tivula yom ninu. So the Gemara raises another kasha Rav Osai. You see, up until now, the assumption was, when is everyone going to the mikvah to prepare for Matan Torah? Friday night. The Pasha, Shabbos night, is when everybody's going to the mikvah. Because again, if everybody's structuring the mikvah immersion, you're not going to go to the mikvah before Friday night. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, you only want to go to the mikvah at the point when poleta shechva zera would no longer be a problem. To go any earlier, if the woman were then to emit the semen, then what would happen? She'd become tamei again. It doesn't make sense. So everybody would be going to the mikvah Friday night. So the Gemara said, but there's a problem. What's the problem? V'hat tevul yom inu. They're all going to be a tevul yom. I will say, what's a tevul yom? A tevul yom is like this. When a person becomes tamei and then goes to the mikvah, so under many circumstances, the tara is only affected when the sun sets following the immersion in the mikvah, which yields a very interesting technical detail. If one goes to the mikvah at night, technically speaking, their tara is not completed until when? Until sunset of, it's the same day. We'll call it of sunset of that day. So technically speaking, if you were to go to the mikvah Friday night, right. Remember, of course, this doesn't apply to. This is not really as much for nida. This is more for kachim, for taros. If a person wants to eat karbanos or sacrificial items. So, if a person goes to the mikvah Friday night, technically speaking, their taros is not complete until we'll call it Shabbos afternoon, sunset on Shabbos, Motzai Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if everybody's going to the mikvah Friday night, that means they're tvul yom. So how is a tvul yom going to get the Torah? The assumption is when a person is a tvul yom, there's still some semblance of tumah attached to them. So it would be strange that they would be tvul yom when getting the Torah.
So can I double check? This is for the purposes of, again, whether the woman is tamei for the purposes of aiding tumah.
No. Right now we're talking about Kabbalah Satorah. We're talking about receiving the Torah. So most of everybody has to be taught.
No, just the halacha you talked about, that one woman is tamei for 5 on us, that would be
correct. Right. That is correct.
Not for sex.
Correct. These halachos that we saw before have absolutely, really, unfortunately, nothing to do with us right now. They don't have any kind of ramifications on laws of family purity or anything like that. Really, this is about correct sacrificial items, karbanos, truma, meiser. That is correct. Right. Correct. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, what do we do about the tevul yom? So the Gemara says the following: Abaye baravin rav chanina baravin do amri tarbayu nitna Torah the tvul yom. What's the big deal? Yes, Torah was given to a tvul yom. Torah was given to a tvul yom. All right. So we'll say. So when the Gemara says that, what the Gemara is essentially saying is, Well, let's finish. So the Gemara says, Yosef Mereimar Veka Amar La Laha Shmaita. So Mereimar was sitting and saying over this particular ruling. Amar Li Ravina Le Mereimar, Nitna Kamrit or Reuya Kamrit? Are you saying that the Torah was actually given to people who were Tevul Yoms, Tevul Yom? Or are you saying that the Torah could have been given to people who are Tevul Yom? Amar Lehi, what he said to him, Reuya Kaminu. I meant to say the Torah could have been given to people who were Tevul Yom. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ru'uya ka'amina. So Rashi says, Ru'uya linasein le'tvul ayom. V'kasavri hanitanoi lo'ik pida Torah al tvul ayom. So what they're really saying is like this, that at the end of the day, the Torah could have been given to people who were tvul ayom. It doesn't matter if they were tvul ayom. Why? Deloksiv herev shemesh ele le'inyon kodshim. Hilchach kol gimu yom ha'amurim le'inyon prisha. Huskiku liyos kol dem tvila. Umihu lo nitna litvula yom, lefisha tavlu mi ba o yom, velo poltu, vim hayu poltos, yachsaruvit, blu mishatakshach, avalo hutrukulakach. So the Gemara says, you know what actually happened? What actually happened was they actually went to the mikvah before Friday night. They went to the mikvah sometime on Friday during the day, the afternoon of Friday, so they had Herif Shemesh. But technically speaking, remember, what's the danger of going Friday during the day? The danger of going Friday during the day is, let's say a woman was polit at Shechva Zera. So let's say a woman goes to the mikvah, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she goes to the mikvah, she comes out, and then after she's polit at Shechva Zera, she emits semen from an act of relations that occurred, let's say, within the last 3 days. So what happens? She becomes Tamei again. So what does she have to do? She has to go out to the mikvah. Which would mean that, what would she be the next morning? She'd be a Tevul Yom. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. Technically speaking, it didn't happen. No one was a Tevul Yom, because everybody went to the mikvah on Friday during the day, they had Herif Shemesh, but just so you know, if someone were to be a Tevul Yom, then what? That's okay also. Torah could be given to a Tevul Yom. So the Gemara asks an interesting shaila. V'litfalu b'nei shimshi v'likablu Torah b'nei shimshi. I don't understand. If they're going to the mikvah, let's say Friday afternoon, Friday evening, Friday night, why don't they just get the Torah at the same time that they're going to the mikvah? So if they're immersing Friday night, give them the Torah Friday night also. Why do you have to wait until the next day? Listen to this. Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo, quotes over here from the pasuk from Yeshaya, Lo meirosh b'seiser dibarti. From the beginning, I never spoke to you in secret. Well, what does that mean? That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given the Torah at night, it looks like there's something that he has to hide. It looks like it's being done in a very quiet and secretive fashion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah in a very public fashion with an incredible amount of fanfare. Therefore, he doesn't do it at night. He didn't do it that night. V'litbulu b'safra d'shapsa. V'litbulu Torah b'safra d'shapsa. So if that's the case, why doesn't everybody just go to the mikvah on Shabbos day? Go to the mikvah on Shabbos day, and then go right from going to the mikvah, right, dry off, and go get the Torah. Rabbi Yitzchak, shelo yehei halalu holchin lekabel Torah, v'halalu holchin letvila. Because what happens? Not everybody runs on time. So what happens when not everybody runs on time? You could imagine what this is going to look like, right? So these guys are running to Har Sinai, right? And this group is running to the mikvah. And then there's a backup at the mikvah. We can't have that. We can't have that. Everybody had to be ready for business already on Shabbos day. Amr Rabbi Chiya b'Rabbi Abba Amr Rabbi Yochanan Zudiv Rabbi Shma. These are the words of Rabbi Shma v'Rabbi Akiva. Aval Chachamim Omrim Sheish Onos Shleimos Ba'inan. So we'll say now the Gemara introduces a new Shita. So up until now we thought that Rabbi Akiva was the maximum of 5 complete Onos of 60 hours. Now we're coming along and seeing what? That the Chacham actually hold that a woman is Temea for Paulette Shech Vazera until 6 full Onos elapse. 72 hours elapse. Amar Rav Chista, Machlokes. Now the Gemara tries to understand. So this halacha lemaisa is the range. So essentially, we have on one hand the most mekel shita is who is Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, who holds that pretty much on the third calendrical day, she's already tahora. Next is Rabbi Shmuel, who holds on the fourth calendrical day, she is tahora. Both agreeing that you don't need what we call me'ez le'ez, you don't need complete onos. Then Rabbi Akiva, who says that you need 5 complete onos. 5 complete onos, and now you have the Rabban who say that you need 6 complete onos. So again, what we've also shown is lemaisa, how according to each and every one of the positions, so you could reconcile them with the timeline of Matan Torah. The only variable is how far before Shabbos did the men separate before their wives. So So take a look. Take a look, just by the way, at Rashi, just quickly. Rashi says, "V'chachamim omrim vav ono shlemos, sorry lu k'rabi Yosi damar ba'arba avet prisha, u b'hashkama k'rabi Akiva, v'les lehu shetavlu b'leile Shabbos, ele svira lehu de'osan shetavlu b'leile Shabbos, u polto le'achar tvila, hutzrichu litva b'shabbos shachris, l'fichach nis'ak v'shchina melitin ad ha'boker, v'lo mishum b'seis b'libar t'lichudei." Now, what's that? I want to show you something very interesting. Now, remember, according to the Chum, who requires six full onos. So six full onos would also include what? Would also include Friday night. Right? You would need the Friday night ona. The Friday night ona we'll call the Shabbos night ona as part of your six onos. According to the Chachamim, therefore, that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu did not give the Torah Friday night. Why? Because although everybody went to the mikvah on Friday night, because we didn't want them doing it on Shabbos day, because then there's going to be too much confusion, what would happen if a woman was poleta shechva zera after going to the mikvah on Friday night? She'd be tmeya. So what would she have to do? She'd have to go back again to the mikvah, whatever, sometime, we'll call it that morning. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and delayed the giving of the Torah until the morning, in the event that somebody should become tmeya again after going to the mikvah, there would be that time to reimmerse. Okay? So says the Gemara. Now the Gemara asks the Shaila about the Shechva Zera, about the circumstances under which Shechva Zera transmits Tumah. So, by Rav Papa. No, sorry, I skipped. Amar Rav Chista, Machlokes Shepir Shamina Isha. When is the machlokes about how long Shechvas Zera has the ability to go ahead and be Tame? That's only when it comes from the woman, right? When the Shechvas Zera of the man, as a result of an act of relations, is emitted by the woman. Then that's a Shaila, how long does that Zera retain some type of Tuma identity? Aval Pirsha Min Aish, but again, when the Zera comes from the man, Tameya Kol Zman Shehilacha, then it transmits Tuma as long as there's moisture to it. So, for example, we'll see that what that means is, let's say if the man emitted zera on an article of clothing, that zera it transmits tumah as long as it's moist. Massive Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes raises the kashi. He says v'chol beged v'chol or asher yihya alav shichvas zera. So the Torah says that any beged, any garment, or any piece of leather that will have on it shechvas zera, so Torah says v'chubas b'mayim, it'll be laundered in water, right, which literally means that it'll go to the mikvah, v'tamei ad ha'arav, and it's tamei until the evening. So the Gemara says, prat l'shechvas zera shisrucha. So this comes to exclude shechvas zera, so seeming that it's srucha. Srucha literally means putrid. Putrid. So what does that mean? So my love shepir shamina ish. Are we not talking about zera that came from the man? Lo shepir shamina isha. We're talking about zera that was emitted by the woman. Zera that was emitted by the woman. Because it's only zera that's emitted by the woman that has the ability to become srucha, right? After whatever amount of time. But if the zera comes from the man, obviously what's like, the zera is always coming from the man. The shaila just is who's emitting it right now. If the zera is emitted by the man onto the fabric, then halacha lemaisa, as long as it is wet, it has the ability to transmit tuma. Boy Rav Papa, shechvas zera b'shal yisrael b'may kusis. And now this is actually an interesting question. So what happens if a Jewish man had relations with a non-Jewish woman? So what's the status if she emits his zera? What's the status if she emits his zera? So the Gemara says, mahu, what is the halacha? Yisrael de di'igi b'mitzvos. So on one hand, we say the following. See, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, see, now it's here's the issue. The issue that the Gemara says is essentially, after the time elapses, whatever time you're going to attribute to it, 2 days, 3 days, 506, whatever it is, after that particular amount of time, the zera itself loses its identity. It's misareches. It's no longer. Decomposes. It's nothing. Now again, it's not to say that she won't emit something, but the idea is, the assumption is that the body essentially, well, right, decomposes it to the body. Whatever the body processes it, so it's nothing. It's nothing. So the shaila is, the Gemara attributes this to the heat of the woman's body. That the internal heat of the woman's body ultimately could only, the zera could only remain viable for so long. But after the amount of time elapses, then the zera, the heat of the woman's body, essentially causes it to become srucha. So the shayla is like, this is such an interesting idea. I'll say, obviously, but the in these kind of things, so Chazal operating with the knowledge that they have, so look how they phrase this question, it's quite amazing. So they say, on one hand, mouth. So what happens if the zera is now in the woman, body of a non-Jewish woman? Do we say, you saw the Igiba mitzvos, listen to this, Jews are always worrying. Right? Jews are always dog. Why are we dog? Because we have a lot to do. Right? We've got a lot of mitzvahs, we've got a lot of obligations on us. Therefore, chavul gufayu, therefore that translates into a heightened body temperature. Right? We're always scurrying around, we're always running around, and what happens? And therefore, again, that's why the zera turns putrid after the certain amount of time. Akum delo de'igiba mitzvos. But apparently it's a much more laid-back lifestyle to not be Jewish. Right? You don't have to worry, certainly not as... First, certainly could do without all the guilt, right? You don't have to worry as much, and therefore, lo. And therefore, maybe halacha lemaisa, maybe the laws are different for a non-Jewish woman because halacha lemaisa, the body temperature is different. Maybe again, the Jewishness has its own effect on just on the physiological processes of the body of a Jewish woman that are different than a non-Jewish woman. Or maybe we would say, kevan da'ach l'shkatzim v'ramosim, or maybe because they eat whatever they want, shkatzim v'ramosim, apparently chalil gufayhu, that does contribute also to a heightened body temperature. V'imtim tzalom, and therefore again, maybe the same halachos for the window of decomposition for a Jew would also apply to a non-Jewish woman. V'imtim tzalom da'ach l'kevan da'ach l'shkatzim v'ramosim chalil gufayhu, and now maybe you would say, maybe it's true that the body of a non-Jewish woman will be just like the body of a Jewish woman, and therefore the semen will decompose, will become putrid in the same amount of time. What about bema'i behema mahu? All right, however it happened, it happened. Right? So let's say the zera ends up in an animal, and now the animal ultimately goes ahead and emits that zera. What is the status of the zera? So the Gemara says, Ishahi de isle prusdor misarachas. Maybe why does the zera go ahead and let's say turn putrid in a woman? Because she has a prusdor. Prusdor is the vaginal canal. Right? So because again Rashi points out, he says there's no ruach. He says that is not exposed to the outside, obviously. So there's an intense amount of heat in that area of her body. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the zera itself turns putrid. Aval behema delesle prosdor lo, but the behema does not have a prosdor not, o dil maloshna, or perhaps there's no difference, therefore teku. Therefore the Gemara says teku. Now Bosa, I'll tell you, you have to appreciate one thing, that Chazal, as obviously when it comes to issues of medical science, they knew what they knew, but it is amazing to know how well Chazal understood female anatomy. If you understand the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, how Chazal understood that there's a vaginal canal, that there's a cervix, that there's a uterus, that there's such a thing as cervical blood, there's such a thing as uterine blood, it's absolutely amazing. Now again, it's probably indicative maybe of the science they had during their time as well. There are some things obviously that are clearly imprecise. That's what they knew. But it's really amazing how in this one particular... That's why, again, if you look at it, if you think about it, Taras HaMishpacha is one of those fascinating areas of halacha where much of what we do and much of what we know is the same thing as what Chazal knew, which is really, when it comes to especially areas of science and areas of medical science, is quite amazing. Okay, bless you. So it ends up with a teiku. Let's go a little bit weiter. Taner Avonon. Bishishi b'chodesh nifnas ha-debros li-Yisrael. So again, Rabosai, so now the Gemara is going to go back. Remember, this whole discussion of Polat HaShech Vazera is very much tied to the timeline of Matan Torah. So the Gemara says, on the 6th of Sivan, we were given the Torah. Rabbi Yossi, or B'Shivabo. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it was the 7th of Sivan. Okay. So we'll say, this is going to be the fundamental machlokes as to what date was the Torah given. Amar Rava, the Chuli Amar Barosh Chodesh Aslo Mibas. So Rava says, let's go with what we agree with. Everyone agrees with the following. That on Rosh Chodesh, we came to Midbar Sinai. Now, why does everybody agree with that? Because the Torah explicitly says it. Right? The Torah says that on Rosh Chodesh, Sivan, we came to Midbar Sinai. Fine. Ksiv Hacha, Bayom Azeh, Bo Midbar Sinai. Because the Torah says, on this day, we came to Midbar Sinai. Ksiv Hasam, HaChodesh Hazeh, Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. So again, you have the Hazeh, Gezeh Rosh Chodesh. Ma Lahalon Rosh Chodesh. Just like over there, HaChodesh Hazeh, Lochem Rosh Chodesh. Afkan, so to Bayom Azeh, Rosh Chodesh. So that's what we know. We came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. And what else do we know? Udekuli Alma, B'Shabbos Nitna Torah Yisrael. What else do we know? That we received the Torah on Shabbos. How do we know that? Ksiv, Zachor es yom haShabbos lekadsho. The Azaris Hadibro say, remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify. Uksiv hasam vayomer Moshe al ha'am Zachor es hayom hazeh. So yom. Ma lahalan beitzmo shel yom. Just like over there, we're talking about the essence of the day Shabbos. Afkan beitzmo shel yom. So too over here, the Torah was received on Shabbos as well. So Rabbi, here are the two facts that everybody agrees with. We came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and we received the Torah on a Shabbos. What do they argue about? Ki pligi b'kviya diyarcha. What do they argue about, Rabosai? B'kviya diyarcha. Rashi says, de'eze yom huk v'hachodesh. The machlokis is going to be on what day was Rosh Chodesh. Rabosai, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with this machlokis tomorrow. Emir Tzashem, I'll be giving the Daf Yomi tomorrow morning. So we'll start here again at 8:15. In Emir Tzashem, and tomorrow we'll get into there's an incredible sugya all about Matan Torah. Zohar es hayom hazeh. Yeah, correct.
Wasn't that on a Thursday?
Correct. So we'll see. That we're going to see. That's exactly what we're going to see. Ari, have a good day.